Dermot and Dave.
Conversation, crack,
and the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
Dermot and Dave.
Mind yourself now. Mind yourself now.
Mind yourself now.
Mind yourself now.
On Today FM.
Off nice.
Yeah. Aoife Lee from Parent Support is in to have a chat with us. Aoife, good morning.
Good morning. It's so lovely to be back.
Yeah, you're back. You're in studio. It's been so long since you've been in studio with us.
It's an excuse to come into town. It's great. Yeah. And not be in front of my computer.
Well, good on you. Lovely to have you back in studio. And lovely to have your expertise. Listen to this. We got a text in that says, lads, I have an 8-year-old daughter. She's a really nice, shy kid, but she tends to be easily influenced by others. She hangs around in the front of the house with a group of girls her own age. However, one of the girls is a much older sibling who seems to tell her things that aren't suitable. She's then telling her friends, including my little one. Now I'm being faced with awkward questions around relationships and sex, and she's also looking to watch things which are way too old for her because the others are. How do I tackle this? I don't want to ostracize her from her friends, but I also can't let this continue. So Aoife Lee from Parent Support, what should this person do?
Yeah, it's I think as parents, we're always faced with dilemmas within friendships. And, you know, when you have either, you know, one or five kids at home, they're all going to deal with things differently. And even as parents, we can focus on things in such a way that, you know, we want to support our kids in the best way possible. But I think in this particular situation, there's two different things going on. Firstly, it's maybe that younger child trying to fit in with the peer group. And obviously with this older sibling coming into the mix has created a ripple of like that inappropriate conversation.
Mm. But we all remember there was one guy in the neighbourhood around about the age of 10 or 11 who seemed to know it all, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where we got a lot of our very dodgy information from. I mean, nothing has really changed, I suppose. There'll always be one kid, be they older or whatever, who's going to start telling these things.
Yeah, and I think because we know that, that's what worries. And it's really important, I think, as parents that we, you know, decide ourselves and look at, right, what is appropriate, and that it's actually okay to say no and create boundaries around our kids and their social situations. And again, our kids are going to be out of our reach in school, on the road, down in the shops, wherever they are. We're not going to be there to manage everything. But I think it's important for us to understand that, a lot of kids at this age want to fit into a peer group. They want to be accepted. It's a big part of their social scenario. And by kind of having that understanding, it gives us some sense of, right, how do we manage it? And some kids will quite happily kind of move among peer groups, and others have kind of a tight-knit group. But like you say there's always going to be the older child, and they're not going to be hanging around forever because they want to be, you know, stimulated by their older friends. But at the same time, it's looking at, right, what does this parent needs to do? And
that's what I think people are listening for. So like I certainly have been in this situation with my kids. And then what do you do when the inappropriate questions come, or
around in a huff to the neighbours with your slippers and your dressing gown? I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Definitely not that. But what else do you do?
I know. Where's your mother? The thing is, there's a couple of things to consider. And sometimes for parents, we feel like it's a little bit out of control. We feel a little bit out of control. Mm-hmm. We can't influence because like that, we're not by their side. But we can't kind of always manage. So it's about, right, how can we influence it from our end within the family unit? So firstly, it's kind of communicating. So if your child is coming back with all the questions and conversations and it doesn't feel right, it's like, right, let's have a conversation. Not when everything is kicking off. Wait until things are calm. Share your concerns. Be prepared to listen to what they have to say. Acknowledge that, you know, we can see and understand that you're enjoying this conversation. However, it's been very clear from your end what's appropriate and what's not. And right now, in this particular situation, it isn't. This isn't cool, and we need to figure something out. So then you're kind of establishing, again, acknowledging the fear of missing out, the FOMO, because I think I was chatting their team and we were talking about the Squid Games and how, you know, they want to be part of this conversation. They want to add in their own bit of, you know, spake to it all. And
yeah, what's funny, I had a conversation with my daughter's 10 and she hangs around like that in a gang, and I was walking them all home from GAA the other night and they were talking about Squid Games. And my daughter seemed to know everything that happens in the series, even though she would never have watched it, Nara. So I was like, but you haven't seen that. I know, but I've been told everything that's happened in it. And I know I've heard stories that they're playing the games from the series in schoolyards, even though they wouldn't be traditional games here.
The Korean
and,
games. Yeah,
yeah, and the kids wouldn't necessarily have seen the show either, but it's kind of, it's obviously got, you know, got their excitement going for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Like, I can't control what my daughter talks about with her friends in the schoolyard.
No, you know? and like that, it's acknowledging, you know what, I know that you want to be part of this conversation, but like, I know the Squid Games as well, and it's come up in conversation with our eldest lad, and we've had to kind of put our foot down and go, no, because it's, you know, very violent. And I saw literally a minute of it and I was like, oh God. So for our kids, it's encouraging the boundaries. And like that, every family situation will have their own rules at home. So for the three of us sitting around the table, we all have different ways of how we parent our kids. And when our, you know, we'll all get a line of, well, it's not fair because I'm the only one that has, you know, isn't able to do this.
Yeah.
Or I'm the only one in the class that doesn't have that. And it's acknowledging it and saying, look, that's their rules, that's their business. But right now for us, this is what's appropriate and what not for.
Is it ever appropriate to talk to the parent of the other kid? Because obviously this other 8-year-old is completely innocent in this, in the fact that he or she is getting it from the older sibling.
Yeah.
So it's that family unit and their rules that are causing the breakdown in your scenario. Yeah. But is it appropriate to call over, not in your dressing gown, but to call over at some point and go, listen, I just want to let you know what's going on.
Yeah. And that's ideally what, you know, for a lot of parents, they would like to do. And it's about, you know, deciding if that's the right option. And I would say, yeah, gut instinct is to talk to that family, but it depends on how acceptant that kind of other parent is. But if it's got to the point where there is a lot of inappropriate conversation, it's also enabling your child or actually giving them the strength of character to deal with those conversations as well, and, you know, give them the permission to walk away when they're seeing this older child come along. Because sometimes it is that she just wants to fit in. There's an element of peer pressure. And if we give them sometimes permission to walk away, it gives them the chance to, you know, it to be okay. And often our kids are afraid to kind of do that because they're afraid of what other people will think and what will be said.
Is it impossible to, is it possible to empower our kids to at least question what they may be hearing outside the gate of the house, in terms of, you know, if so-and-so, you know, just because Mary tells you this or her big sister tells you this, doesn't mean that all of this is true or right for you. You know, it's okay to, you know, whatever the equivalent, you know, the child equivalent of taking it with a pinch of salt is.
Yeah.
You know, to actually question and don't just accept that everything you're hearing out there on the road is absolutely true, because that's not the case.
Yeah, and it's having those conversations and being realistic. And that's why it's important to hear our kids out and hear their point of view on it, because they're not always... you know, again, kids can be quite heavily influenced by their peers, and particularly when the older kid comes along, they just think everything, you know, they're amazing, and like that they could be 2-3 years older. So it's actually giving them that chance and opportunity to talk it through. And, you know, like that, sometimes when life is so busy, it's making the time to sit down and have those chats. And often the messages or that communication is more clear when everything is kind of calm and you take those opportunities. Like you say, you're walking home with your daughter and that was the time to have that conversation.
Yeah, I like that idea of dealing with it when it's calm, not when it's the big screaming match, and then you sit down and try and have a calm conversation. Not going to work. Eva Lee, you can find Eva on Instagram. She's at Parent Support. And if you have any questions for Eva, you can get them in there. Eva, as always, thanks for coming in.
Dermot and Dave.
Weekdays from 9 a.m. Today.